Now, from junk science to jellyfish science, that just might hold the key to some form of biological immortality. Nearly a quarter century ago, young marine biologists stumbled upon a scyphozoan. For you Googlers, that's a kind of jellyfish. But for you real marine biologists, it was a mysterious jellyfish of the class Hydrozoa who exhibited the trait of biologically refusing to die. This is quite literally the case. Whenever it became old, sick, or hurt, it would begin to age in reverse until it reached its earliest stage of development, at which point it would begin its life cycle all over again. It's now called the immortal jellyfish, or the Benjamin Button jellyfish. You remember the movie based on the F. Scott Fitzgerald short story? This amazing creature might just hold some secret to reversing the process of aging, and yet only one scientist, Shin Kubota in Japan, has devoted his life to studying this immortal jellyfish. Nathaniel Rich is a novelist and essayist. He wrote the cover story for this Sunday's New York Times Magazine, Superhero of the Sea. Nathaniel, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a story of science and also a story of a particular scientist. How miraculous is the behavior of this hydrozoan here?
It does seem, from a human perspective, absolutely miraculous in that it when it comes under any kind of serious stress, it ages in reverse and goes back to being a polyp, the earliest stage in the life cycle. But I did find, as I was, my original interest was the jellyfish, but as I met Kubota, I actually became more fascinated in him. He's a fantastic, strange, heroic figure.
And he's really trying to crack a code here, right?
He is. They still don't know how it performs its trick. They have a few ideas about the species, and it's similar to a couple of other hydrozoan species, but they don't understand on a genetic, molecular level exactly what's going on to create this process.
And this isn't simply a matter of increasing the birth rate when the population is under threat. This is literally reversing aging.
That's right. It from the adult stage in the life cycle of Medusa, it basically curls up into the equivalent of a fetal position and forms a blob on the ocean floor. And the blob turns into a polyp, and the polyp then produces another Medusa. And this process can go on infinitely, as far as anyone can tell.
Well, as a writer, when I'm confronted with a deadline, I've got the curled up in a fetal position part down for sure, but the reverse aging, no.
That's right. I'm well familiar with that process.
So what is it about the Shin Kubota that binds him to this creature, and how likely do you think he is to actually be the discoverer here?
He's absolutely obsessed with immortality and himself becoming immortal. Specifically, he wants to be 20 years old again. He showed me a picture in his study of him at 20, and as the kind of ideal form that Shin Kubota should take. And so whether or not he's going to be successful is I'd say at this point is really out of his hands. It's for a different type of scientist to figure out. He's gone almost as far as you can go as far as observing the species. So someone else will really have to take up his work, a geneticist or a molecular biologist, to go further.
And the question is there a genetic trigger here or some specific chemical trigger that causes this mechanism to unfold?
It would seem to be genetic. I mean, I go into the details a little bit in the piece. But it what seems to be happening is a form of transdifferentiation, which is what you see in human stem cell research is probably the way that most people have encountered it.
Let me stop you there. So you go back to the stem cell state and then re-specialize. So livers become stem cells and then turn into brains or feet or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, basically, to simplify a little bit, at the beginning of a cell's life, It's in this kind of amorphous state where it can become any type of specific cell. It can become a liver cell or a skin cell or a brain cell. And once it differentiates into that cell, it can't go back. But what we're seeing here is that actually the cells are returning to this undifferentiated state and then differentiating again into a different cell. And so that's really what distinguishes it, is this ability of the cell to unlock itself and go back to this early primitive shape.
In evolutionary terms, why hasn't this trait been passed around more among other species?
Well, the fascinating thing that I learned, one of the many astonishing things that I learned while researching the piece, is that, in fact, it may have been. This may be a relatively common feature of a lot of simple organisms. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of simple organisms just have not been studied very closely. And one scientist I spoke to called this Small's Rule, which is that most there are way more experts studying larger species than there are smaller species. Perhaps that comes out of a child's infatuation with whales and dolphins, perhaps more than little amoebas. But for whatever reason, there are a ton of simple organisms out there that nobody really knows much about. So while Kubota is really the only one who's been able to study this very successfully, there aren't many other people even in his field who could do the work. And there are so many other organisms out there that we know nothing about. And so there's a huge amount of opportunity. And it may be that this is only one of many species that perform a similar type of trick.
You know, it's surprising to me because so much brain science was discovered looking at lobster neurons or, squid neurons.
Yeah, and there's a scientist that makes this point that I spoke to, that in fact, instead of, when we're doing research for human medicine and studying mammals and, mice and cows, we might be wrong-footed, and that maybe our best bet is actually to study these simple organisms where we can more clearly see what exactly is going on and not be distracted by the complexity of the animal. And so the problem is that a lot of funding organizations are reluctant to spend money on researching, a hydrozoan to try to find a cure for cancer. They'd rather, it's sort of safer and politically easier to study mice, for instance. So this there's some hope that this might be a new avenue of research for human medicine.
Well, they're simple, but they may be immortal, the hydrozoans. Nathaniel Rich, author of Odds Against Tomorrow, his second novel, which will be published in April, contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine. His cover piece for this Sunday's New York Times Magazine is Superhero of the Sea, about the immortal jellyfish. Thanks so much.
Thank you.